Today on Real Life Radio.
Someone's in the crowd and they hear that and they quickly run to their local government office to report, pass it up the chain, tell Caesar that these Christians just preached that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby a man can be saved.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 4 continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 5 through 11. In every aspect, Jesus was God in the flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses that Jesus came down to us so we could call him Lord, and he humbled himself so that we might have eternal life. The most important challenge for mankind, however, is found in verse 11. It tells us that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, every thinking mind must consider who God is. Willingly or unwillingly, Jesus will be confessed as Lord. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the eternal grace that Jesus provides will be appreciated forever. For every true follower of Jesus Christ who bows their knee and confesses Jesus as Lord considers it a joy, a privilege, and an honor to do so. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Is Jesus Lord? Of course he is. But is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? And this verse 11, by design, is a great departure for all of man. And I'll prove it to you. Matthew chapter 16. Mark it in your margins or turn to it quickly, which I always suggest you to turn to it quickly for two reasons. Number one, you should always use Sundays and Wednesdays as Bible drill. There should be, the sound of this church should sound like this. And the second thing is, I love the way it sounds when the church sounds like this. It's a healthy sound. I know that's tough today with all this modern day junk we have with Bibles on apps and stuff. And I told you guys before, somebody needs to make $1 million in this church if you create an app that when you turn in your pages on your phone, it makes the sound of pages turning. Now, according to Old Testament rules, I get 10% of whatever you make off that idea. Just kidding. Not really. Anyway, Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, note, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Not what, but who. So they said, you could almost see them in this little huddle. Oh man, how do we answer this question? Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now granted, ladies and gentlemen, that's a pretty cool crowd to be involved in. I'd like people to mistake me for Jeremiah. But not when you're the Son of God asking the question. Verse 15, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that what Jesus is saying today? Who do you say that I am? Am I your Lord? Am I the Lord of your life? Am I the Lord of your home, your marriage, your children? Who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, and I got to tell you, this had to shock him. I think as soon as it came out of Peter's mouth, he thought, what in the world did I just say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. That was his dad's name. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. You are a pebble. That's Peter's name means a pebble. Did you know that? Peter's name means a little chip off a rock, a pebble. By the way, in this statement, he's announcing Peter's calling. And on this rock, now he's announcing the mission. The word rock is not a pebble. The word rock is something monumental. Hey, pebble. What you just said is a huge rock. It is a foundational stone. Listen, my dear Catholic friends this morning, I know you're here because you told me you come here and you get Bible study and then you go to Mass after first service. That's fine with me. I get that. Just go tell your priest today what Jesus said. Peter is a pebble. Peter made a statement. Based on the statement, Jesus said, that's the rock. That's the foundation. Peter is not the rock. There is no Greek scholar in the last 2,000 years that would argue that Peter is the rock. Every Greek scholar will argue that what Peter said is the foundational rock. Of what? We ask the question as Bible students. Of what? Well, good question. Glad you asked. Follow along. And I will build my church. You build things on foundations. Is the church built on the foundation of Peter? If so, shut the lights off, turn off the microphone, let's go goof off and let's go to the beach or ski. I don't know what's going on today. Forget it. Church is over. If church is founded upon a man, we're done. Thank God it's not. It's founded upon the rock. And what or who is the rock? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the victory. I thought you'd all say, yeah, woo! I know it's early, but that's it. I could close my Bible. Good night and God bless. That's the end. That's it. There it is right there. That's all the power you need to know. But to say that Jesus Christ is Lord would have made you guilty of committing the most offensive, intolerant declaration possible in that day and age. To say Jesus is Lord, you know why? It excludes all others. Did you know that? To say Jesus is Lord. But this was expected of you as a believer in the first century. The word is Kyrios Kaiser. Kyrios Kaiser. What is that? If you said Kyrios Kaiser, Kyrios Kaiser is Caesar's Lord. If you shouted Caesar's Lord, you were okay in the kingdom. Did you know you were stopped and asked? It was none of this, let's go hold an outreach. Listen, the Roman Empire by very nature would say, they would ask you, Kyrios Kaiser, and you'd say, Kyrios Kaiser. You would say in that, Hail Caesar. Kind of haunting, is it, if you think about it? Well, it wasn't very long ago when people were saying, Hail Hitler. Did you know it's the exact same thing? Kyrios Kaiser. Kyrios. Caesar's Lord. Government's Savior. Government's Messiah. Caesar is Lord. This man, Caesar, is God on earth. Did you know that's what it means? Go look it up later. For a Roman to admit that Caesar is Lord is to say that we have a God on earth. Sound familiar? Isn't that Satan's plan to always mimic, always knock off? Wow. To confess Kyrios Isos was to seal your death. It was to say publicly that you are now officially unfaithful to Caesar because you have a new Lord, Jesus. It is Kyrios Isos, Jesus is Lord. And you were carted, you were cuffed, you were bound, you were taken away, you were tried. And listen to this, you were tried for being or declaring yourself unfaithful to Caesar, and with the confession, you were judged as a monotheist. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that we believe in the God of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Rome didn't believe that. Neither does your culture today believe that. A lot of lords running around. I just saw two of them on TV this last weekend at a music festival. Lord Elton John and Lord Paul McCartney. No, there's only one. Church, if they're lords, then where's Augustus Caesar today? I want to ask you, where's Nero? Wicked, horrible Nero. What a freak. You ever read about Nero? Yikes. Read Josephus on Nero. What a maniac. They were all kind of maniac, but he was a real big one. Where's Tiberius Caesar? Where are these guys? Where's Caligula today? Church, the truth is there's a day coming when God will reveal his presence. And with or without your approval, Buddha will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So will Hitler. So will Muhammad and Obama. So will you and I. And with that confession, with that proclamation, Jesus will be confessed from our hearts, willingly or unwillingly. It will happen. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, that this is the stone which was rejected by the builders. Peter is talking about Jesus, remember? The foundation, the Christ, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can you imagine somebody watching or hearing that? Can you imagine? Someone's in the crowd, and they hear that, and they quickly run to their local government office to report, pass it up the chain, tell Caesar that these Christians just preached that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby a man can be saved. Wow. Is this your Lord? Is this your Savior? Is this your God? And the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 11 that it's to the glory of God the Father, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, him purchasing our salvation with his blood, set in motion all that would bring glory and honor to God in the end. And not only in the end, but read the fine print for the believer. It's exciting to find out what the end means to us. The end for us is the beginning. This all ends, and then the beginning finally begins. Looking forward to that. His eternal grace, you and I will appreciate forever. Now listen, if you're not a Christian today, you ought to listen to this for no other reason except for you to know what the rest of us are going to be doing in heaven. You ought to know this. It's kind of cool. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, but God. I love when the Bible says that. Oh, everything's crazy. Oh, the world's on fire. It's gone. Going nuts. It's not. Listen, everything's falling right into place according to the Bible. And then you hear this in the midst of darkness. There's those two words, but God. My doctor said, but God says. My wife said, but God said. My husband said, but God. What does God say? But God, who is rich in mercy, an interesting way to put it. God is wealthy in mercy. I'm glad. Because of his great love, not love, what? It's great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with him or Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that, here it is, this is your future, this is your 401, this is your retirement. That in the ages to come, the word is eons. Have you ever heard of the word before? It's a Greek word, eons. Forever. That in the ages to come, he might show, this is awesome, he might, it means it's going to take all of eternity for him to show you and I the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Church, listen, oh my goodness. Pretend for a moment in your imagination, we now just stepped into eternity. Welcome. We just stepped into eternity, and I'm God in this little story. You come up to me, and I give you a hug, and I put you on my knee, and I wrap you up, and I look right into your face, and I start telling you, you remember when you were on earth and you were doubting my commitment to you? This is what I was doing. I was doing this. And do you remember when you were afraid and you thought, this is what I was doing? And do you remember those thoughts you had? That wasn't true, because this is what I was thinking about you. And this is the deal. And this is who I am. And this is my affection upon you. This is what I was thinking. This is how your Lord has always held you. And that's how it was, and that's how it's going to be. And you know how long that's going to take for him to tell us that? Thank you. Forever. Don't tell me you don't dig that. You grab your child, you grab your grandkid, you put them on your knee, and you tell them, do you know how much Daddy loves you? Let me tell you how much Daddy loves you. You know how much Papa loves you? This is how much Papa loves you. You put them on your knee, you start telling them, and you know what? One thing will happen and one thing only, and then the second thing will happen. Watch. The first thing that happens is they light up, and then they say, I love you too. Okay? And then they say something like, okay, I want to go now. And that's totally cool. You want to know why? Because their tank just got filled up. They're not saying, I want to leave you. For all that love, I want to run. No, this is what they're saying. That is so cool, Papa. That is so awesome. That just warmed my heart. I'm full to the top. I can conquer the world. I'm going to go run around the backyard. I'm going to go climb a tree. I can do anything because my tank's full. I'll get back to you in a moment. I'm going to go have a great day because of you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Dad. See you. Bye. And the little one runs away and climbs up the tree or gets on the skateboard or whatever they do, and Papa and Daddy just smiles with a heart about ready to pop. And some of you pathetic atheists who don't even know what you're doing are running away from this very love. What are you doing? You have no argument that will hold your weight in the day of eternity. God loves you and you resist him. God loves you and you fight him. He tries to put you on his knee and you slap him. John chapter 17, verse 4 tells us Jesus is praying the high priestly prayer of Christ, John 17. And in verse 4, he says, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Listen, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Skip down to verse 24, John 17. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus' desire for you. Father, let them see, finally, let them see your love. William Barclay, in his great, precious quote, William Barclay says, any system of thought must, by necessity, become your way of life. Did you know you're going to become like the way you think? Last Thursday night at the school board meeting, the atheists were there to gloat in their victory. It's funny because the room was clearly divided. And the Christians who were there were smiling and talking and discussing God, the Bible, vacation, where they just ate and whatever. Are the Rams really coming to L.A. or whatever? There's conversation. There was fellowship. You understand? Do you hear me? And right on the other side of the room were a bunch of winners, and they were all upset, bitter, and angry looking. It was exciting to see. And it was like, man, I'm thinking, I want to say, don't take it so seriously. I mean, eternity's coming. All this ain't going to be, it's all going to pass. This ain't the end of the game. I've read the back of the book. I know how it ends. And for us on this side of the room, it's going to end really good. I mean, think about it. Gosh, I thought you'd be more happy in your victory. The truth is, listen, you can try to outlaw prayer all you want. People are not going to stop praying. Well, it's illegal. No, it's not. Well, the judge says so. Judges can't make laws. It's illegal. Hello? There's a First Amendment separation of church and state. Doesn't say that's not in there. It's so funny. Hey, look, at the end, no matter what, listen, we're going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. That's the fact. Jesus is Lord. A.W. Tozer says, what comes into your mind when we think about God is the most important thing about you. That's a deep statement. Can I read it again? Did you get that? What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Here's a reality check. For every true follower of Jesus Christ, bowing the knee and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord is a joy, a privilege, and an honor. It is a joy to submit to that fact. It is a celebration of our hearts. Is that true for you, or is it not true for you? Every single day, the believer desires to bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord by how we live. Is that true or false for you? Is this your reality? That do you want to bow and confess every day before your feet even hit the ground that Jesus Christ is Lord? If that's true of you, you're a believer. Okay, now listen, we're almost done. We're almost done. Did my clock stop? Is it that early? Something's wrong. There's a reason. Let's keep going. I mean, this confession reveals the true state of your heart. What of those, church, listen, what of those who can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Where does and what does the future hold for them? I wrote some things down. The present reality, and listen, this is for all of us to judge ourselves. The present reality is this. For those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, your sins have been forgiven you, says the Bible. Therefore, this is the fundamental, number one, fundamental basis for why the Christian is to be joyous. 1 John 2:12 says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. What does that mean? This is so cool. It means, bluntly putting it, God the Father is bound to forgive any, all those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because God the Father had an agreement with the Son that whatever the Son paid for, the Father would forgive.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. There is a day when judgment is coming, and the truth is, only God can save you now. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey guys, Pastor Jack here, and I am so excited to tell you about a book that, frankly, honestly, I have now gone through twice in my private reading. So please mark it down. It's 100 Bible Verses That Made America. It's authored by Robert Morgan, and it's an incredible book. It covers the defining moments that shaped America and its founding through Scripture. And what's great about this book is that it not only, of course, includes 100 Bible verses, but it's not like the guy made them up. They apply to the moment. And in fact, in some of the situations, it's coming right out of the founding fathers' mouth themselves. Get your copy, please. 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan, and you will not be disappointed.
That's 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan. Available for your gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.